if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors.
COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older.
Just get vaccinated.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine.
People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity.
There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus.
They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have, and the children that every parent dreams of having.
A North Carolina teenager needs a new kidney in order to save her life. But her doctors say no COVID vaccine, no transplant.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
They are beings above the average of their societies.
You need to evaluate the risk factor in the COVID vaccine.
They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion.
Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken.
It has nothing to do with freedom.
Screw your freedom.
You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that.
If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home.
Everyone from police to teachers to firefighters must comply or they will face penalties.
They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now, we all know who are the best on the planet Earth. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible arc, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice, and it's time to make it count.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon, or be destroyed.
The globalists are coming! The globalists are coming!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at AlexJonesLive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome to the August 7th edition of War Room Live. It's Friday. I'm your host, Rex Jones, filling in for the great Harrison Smith. And today I kind of got a roundup of the week for you. Got domestic policy, foreign policy, war, politics, finance, and a mixture of the macabre and the wild, shall we say. So I wanted to say at the start of this broadcast, whatever you're doing, whether you're, you know, at home with your friends, tell them about the show. That's the big message I can give you for today. We often get people saying we want to support the operation, want to do X, Y, Z. The biggest thing that you can do is share the posts, share the edits. We got a lot of great editors here, a phenomenal crew, just working on putting out clips for from every show for you every single day. So I want to shout out to the crew right there. Let's go ahead and get into the clips here. I've got an interesting story because we've had James Fish back on the show quite a few times, or I've had James Fish back on the show quite a few times. Byron Donalds is now under investigation. Let's go to clip number one.
It's clip number one. July 21st, 2026, NBC News reported that Republican Florida Congressman Corey Mills was under criminal investigation by the Department of Justice. Like virtually every federal investigation, this one began with a single suspect and quickly spread to include others. This government whistleblower who approached my campaign has confirmed that this investigation has now expanded to include U.S. Congressman Byron Donalds, who, along with Corey Mills, is under investigation for federal sex trafficking. Federal prosecutors are investigating two dates in question, May 17th, 2024, and November 19th, 2024. Dates when Congressman Mills and Donalds are said to have traveled to the MGM National Harbor, a luxury hotel resort in Oxon Hill, Maryland, where prosecutors believe that both Mills and Donalds solicited, procured, and paid women for sexual acts. Federal prosecutors are in the final stages of this investigation and will soon charge both men under Title 18 of the U.S. Code, Section 1952, a felony that carries a conviction of 5 years in prison.
Right. So I think they denied being there, but now there's photographic evidence of them at the casino, reportedly, allegedly. Nothing is confirmed as of yet. But if you look at the overall situation, you look at him with his criminal convictions for drug trafficking and other things as well. Look at some of the behavior he's engaged in grocery stores. Byron Donalds is quite the swamp creature. And there's a reason why he's received $41 million in funding, right? And this is why, you know, I've paid a lot of attention to local races. You know, we got Aaron Baker in Florida. We got James Fish back, got Monty Fritz. Like so many people, I think that the American people are waking up and realizing they don't want people that are involved in institutional corruption, even if they are outsiders, even if they're not, you know, a part of a party structure. I think everyone's calling BS on that. And where has the party structure gotten us anyway? You know, both on the left and the right, we're told, you know, you got to back your team, you got to reform your team, got to make it work. They ultimately all do the same stuff. It doesn't really matter if they have a D or an R next to their name. They're kind of just the same creature. They're all empty suits. And they all support endless war, endless spending, endless genocide, endless compromise, ultimately, on all the issues that Americans hold dear. And I want to get to clip number two just to showcase where your tax dollars go. We've given this military, Ukraine's military, given them hundreds of billions of dollars. We have funded them and armed them to the teeth, and they do forced conscription. So let's go ahead and show clip number two of the forced conscription in Ukraine.
Would you go through that?
All right, that's all we need to see. That's liberal and loving now, isn't it? Are you happy that you're paying for that? Because spoiler alert, you are. Just like the settlers in the West Bank, just like the IDF in Lebanon and Gaza, you fund this directly. You, the viewer listener at home, if you're an American taxpayer, you're funding this system. And here's the thing. If you're not telling your friends and family every single day about the World War III of choice that we have put ourselves in and that we are supporting, that we are propping up, the actions here you're seeing are war crimes, by the way, that this is, you know, the second most moral army in the world. You know, the first one, of course, is Israel, right? Because, you know, the more grave the crimes are against humanity in general, the higher you rank on our morality list. Now, let's see what all these wars are really about with clip number three, Trump talking about Venezuela.
We're taking a lot of oil from Venezuela, and we're getting along great with them. Billions and billions of barrels of oil is coming out of Venezuela. It's one of the most fertile places for oil in the world. And as you know, it was a 48-minute war, lasted 48 minutes. And we paid for the war with what we've taken out many, many, many times. Where have you heard that before? You haven't heard that before. It's the old-fashioned way, right? That's the old-fashioned way. To the victor along the spoils, right? And we're doing the same thing, by the way, in the lovely Islamic Republic of Iran. We're knocking the hell out of it.
Well, to the victor belong the spoils. I mean, that's the Strait of Hormuz, right? So why don't you have that? I guess that means we didn't win the war. Actually, you know what? I got something for this. I do have something for this. See if we can find it. The rundown is kind of a big collection here. See if we can find Hegseth saying that we've won the war. This is the newest proclamation. It's not the newest proclamation because they say it over and over and over again. Why are oil prices, diesel prices still going up, even though we've taken Venezuela and taken their oil? It wouldn't be that we send a lot of that oil to Israel, would it? Wouldn't also be that oil isn't enough to prop up the economy after we shut down one of the world's most vital waterways that transported up to 20% of the world's oil, right? All these things are done in order to like minimize or compromise on a future conflict, which they're going to do. It's never even done for like the enrichment of the empire itself. It's just done for the war. Look at this. Hegseth declares victory while preparing for more war with Iran. The administration is still sending more forces to the region. Why would you do that if you won the war? And asking for help from allies, even as the White House says the conflict is over. All right, let's go ahead and go into clip number four here, contrasting this Massey talking about what Americans actually care about, which is the debt.
Gentleman from Kentucky is recognized for 90 seconds.
Well, I'd love to stand here and tell the American people we can cut your taxes and we can increase spending and everything's going to be just fine. But I can't do that because I'm here to deliver a dose of reality. This bill dramatically increases deficits in the near term, but promises our government will be fiscally responsible 5 years from now. Where have we heard that before? How do you bind a future Congress to these promises? This bill is a debt bomb ticking. Congress can do funny math, fantasy math, if it wants, but bond investors don't. And this week, they sent us a message. Moody's downgraded our credit rating, and the bond investors who buy our debt and finance our debt demanded higher interest rates on the 10-year note, the 20-year note, and the 30-year note. What does this mean? Very soon, the government will be paying $16,000 of interest alone per U.S. family. And what are we telling them? Instead of taking care of that problem, we're going to give you a $1,600 tax break. Under the taxing and spending levels in this bill, we're going to rack up, the authors say, $20 trillion of new debt over the next 10 years. I'm telling you, it's closer to $30 trillion of new debt in the next 10 years. Mr. Speaker, we're not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic tonight. We're putting coal in the boiler and setting a course for the iceberg. If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight. I oppose this bill.
Gentleman's time has expired. Gentlemen.
Think about what he just said there. extrapolated over between $20 and $30 trillion over the next decade. Now, you'd say, oh, we're at like 40, pull up the debt clock. We're at 40 trillion right now. It doesn't seem so bad. Look at how much worse or how much worse our credit has gotten. You know, it's just when your credit goes down, you'll still get loan offers, but they'll be worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's what we're doing to ourselves. We're our own loan officer. We're our own drug dealer. That's how you really have to look at it with the capital and the money. And no one has ever told these junkies to stop. $39,831,800,000, 800,000, 100,000. And it just goes up 100,000. Just goes up another 100,000. Do. And that's like an American every second or less than every second. Pretty, pretty horrific when you look at that right there. And the whole prospect of us being in debt like this and saying, you know, the constant cop out is we're the best house in a bad neighborhood. I was like, well, okay, well, like what happens when you're the best house in a bad neighborhood, but all your neighbors are renovating? All your neighbors are trying to, you know, establish a HOA with themselves and trying to kick you out of it. That's basically what BRICS has done, right? And we've enabled them to do so. Biden did it by weaponizing the SWIFT system. They invented SIPs. We weaponized GPS system, cut that off from the Chinese. They invented Baidu, which is even more efficient in the global south than GPSs. They have even more satellites now. The IMEC corridor, more nations have been willing to expand and join and work with China because of our military operations and aggression. You ultimately see the deal that you get funding and predatory loans from the Chinese, or you get American military bases in your country. And one of those is more of a financial risk. One of those is more of a literal risk now because those bases will get blown up. It will be seen as an act of war upon you. And then you will be called to fight with the United States. That's really what it is. You get called to fight for the United States in that situation. And that's like the handshake, wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal they make with all these countries. And the assumption on the part of all those countries has always been they've assumed, well, this is America. This is the big chungus, big cheese. It can take care of the problem for us. Not anymore. Not for a long time, actually. But, you know, it takes a while for people to get used to it. It's like touching a stove that's hot. They thought the stove was hot. The stove's not hot anymore, right? We can't project power in the way that we've been known to project power. So it leaves these countries that have made deals with us in a very precarious situation. What are they going to do when they know that we know that we're lying about being able to defend them? They'll probably make new security arrangements, new security agreements over the next decade. It'll be a slow pull away process, but it's about ripping the Band-Aid off first. And who does it, right? It'll either be us, we'll leave the region, or it will be them. And just like the war has been a giant humiliation, a giant exposure of the weakness of like American hegemony on the world stage, and really the fact that that doesn't really exist anymore. And it's a multipolar world of regional powers, especially if you look at the case of Iran. It leaves us in a position where America doesn't really have a choice but to leave, because if these other countries make us leave first, we're truly done. We're truly done. And as Joe Kent often says, the economic incentive is on the Iranians to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. If we leave, if we're out of that region and they control that region, they keep it shut, they're going to have the international backlash. They're going to have the pressure. And then we could use economic war for economic sanctions in terms of not levying more against the country, but releasing the hundreds of billions or parts of the hundreds of billions, or releasing, you know, the ability for them to sell their stuff. They have been sanctioned for 47 years. Right. This is a big reason why they won the war. We did gain of function research on their country, just like we did to Russia, just like we've done to plenty of other places. When they can't adopt or interact with the Western financial system, when they can't, you know, adopt our credit system, when they can't use our money, they have to make do with what they have. And they found a way to do that in which they're able to outcompete the U.S. I think we spend $3,000 a person. Reportedly, I'm sure it's way more than that on the military, according to some statistic. I think the Iranians spend 80, and you can't win if you got $1 billion base or a $300 million radar, or, you know, like a $20 million like Reaper drone, right? And it can just get blown up by a lawnmower that costs them $20,000 to make. It's just not economical. Let's go ahead and go to video five, or we just went to that. Video number five. Go ahead and roll that.
The whole myth that Iran is full of like crazy suicide bombers and like crazed jihadis. Number one, like that's not the Shias. Like the Shias don't use suicide bombers. The Shias have never come over to America to kill Americans. Now, the Shias have been pretty proficient at killing Americans when we come to their shores, like in Iraq and in Lebanon. But the Salafi jihadis, the ISIS, the Al-Qaeda, those are the suicide bombers. Mm. Those are the guys who are like, you know, at all costs, we're going to hit America, who are crazy. And the only solution to them is to hunt them down and to kill them.
I was under the impression you supported those people. If you listen to the internet, holy shit.
No, actually, I mean,
we get that on camera.
One of our, and you can have Joey Warwick check my math on this one. Our big ground forces that we use in the fight against ISIS, it was the Kurds, but also it was the Shia militias. Mm. I mean, when I was in Iraq in 2016, we were partnered with the Kurds, but like over just to our south was the popular mobilization forces,
right.
That had Quds Force advisors. I was there as an American Special Forces advisor. There was Quds Forces advisors over there. We were bombing ISIS positions and they were advancing on it. They were the ground forces. They were the infantry against ISIS in many cases.
Wow. So many.
All of the, my bad on that little microphone adjustment. All of the threats that America faces are threats that we created and funded and set up, like Al-Qaeda, like ISIS, right? The idea that the Iranians say death to America and hate Americans, they fought a war against Saddam Hussein where they lost hundreds of thousands of their people and they had chemical weapons used on them that we gave Saddam, right? So to be like, oh, they say that, they want to launch an ICBM and nuke New York, because that's what Benjamin Netanyahu would like for you to believe. What happens if they do that? What happens if they attack the mainland United States? They get nuked. They actually lose their civilization. They're not going to do that. They're smarter people than that. And Trump knows that. Europe-wide terror concern, throw that up. Europe-wide terror concern amid rise of ISIS-inspired attacks and radicalization. Experts say terrifying terror group ISIS, self-dubbed Al-Qaeda on steroids, is on the rise again across Europe, sparking fears that has found innovative ways of radicalizing young extremists. And the leftist NGOs and George Soros and all the fun friends and our government and CIA and Mossad and the Israelis and everybody, they put these people in Western countries to generate the reaction of, oh, this is the Islamic terror. This is the threat. This is why you support Israel, because Israel's fighting these same people, except they're not. They funded those people. They brought them into your country. And the people that they're fighting are actually opposed to those militants and fight those militants in the Middle East. And that's the reality. You have a regional power fighting another regional power, and we're not in that region, so why are we involved? Why are we importing people from that region all over the world to Western countries to destabilize them? It doesn't benefit the West to do that. The West spends hundreds of billion dollars to defend Western civilization by defending Israel, but it'll spend $100 billion, and then it'll import 100,000 refugees from one of these places that's rampant with the terrorism that we set up. And then it's kind of just like a shake-and-bake operation at that point. Let's go ahead and show from the Iranian side the, we'll show a part of it. I don't want to play the whole thing. Number 6, new Lego video from Iran.
Stinky Donnie. Uh-oh. Back in your diaper. Shit yourself again. Whole room gagging. Little man stinking. Bad boy, you need that spanking. Who's the boss? It ain't the vote. Who's the boss? Follow the note. APAC, 50 states to Tel Aviv, no cash, no quote. BB never paid a dime, he just squeezed the throat. United Slaves of the Holy Land, merge the forces like Bibi planned. Now your general salute a foreign command, and the Senate says relax, it's fine, it's planned.
Fine.
No war ever fought for your own gate, mm-hmm. Always somebody else's hate. Free America, the people chanted loud. The strings burn the foreign shroud.
That's all we need. All right, so that is going to be a lot more effective than posting the equivalent of dark Brandon memes about Trump. Have you seen this? The White House, they post memes of Trump where he's like Slender Man or like the Rick and Morty thing. You can't really compete with something like this. And ultimately, it's not just the court of public opinion in America you have to worry about. It's the court of public opinion in the world. And just the general tolerance for this war, not just in America, but in other countries as well. We've seen what happened in Spain. We've seen kind of the reaction punishment. Good grief. All right, we've had enough of the video. We can get... I mean, we lost the war, guys. If we won the war, they wouldn't be making videos like this now, would they?
Bibi Netanyahu, please, we're in a lot of trouble here. We're losing the war. The public hates us. They hate what I've destroyed my economy. I've done everything domestically and foreign policy you've asked for. I've merged your military with Israel. We're doing it all, everything you want. Why? Can we just stop? Can we stop fighting?
You have to bomb them more, Mr. Trump. We have to have nuclear war, nuclear fire. We have to have the entire civilization burn.
I'll tell them that. I guess we'll go drop the bomb. And here's the thing. That reality is a lot closer than the reality that Trump will sell you, that he's the king of the earth and that all the nations bow to him and that, oh, it's so incredible. They must never have a nuclear weapon. And it really is ultimately, because like the greatest propaganda is the truth. Who has the more truth? Do the Iranians have more truth, or does the U.S.-Israeli empire have more of the truth? I would have to say the Iranians have more of the truth, as in they've won the war and they acknowledge that. We don't acknowledge that. We even say it's not a war, but it's a war that we've won. I'm going to say it again. It's not a war, but it's a war that we won. It's also been going on for 47 years, but it's a military operation that might need to go on for another 20 years. But we also... we're going to defeat them in 24 to 48 hours. The Strait of Hormuz won't be closed. We're going to be able to do regime change. We're going to have color revolution. We're going to give the Iranians the Second Amendment, and they're going to overthrow their country. How many more can I think of? The Kurds and the other people around the Middle East will get involved. They'll help us. We can take Karg Island. It's easy. If we did Iwo Jima, we could do this. We're just going to get rid of their bridges, power plants. We're just going to bomb them, commit war crime. Like, it's, you go further and further down the list. It reads like a bad comedy. It's not a bad comedy. It's a tragedy, and it's real life, and it's what's happening now. Go ahead and play clip number 8. Iran releases footage of a U.S.-Israeli fighter jet and drone downed by the IRGC.
گرگ ایرانی ها در جنگ با دشمن آمریکایی. انتشار تصاویر اختصاصی خبرگزاری صدا و سیما از پرنده های شکار شده
Yeah, so that's like, I don't know, 100 Americans' tax dollars. You know, that's just gone now, completely obliterated. And it's their trophy, too. They display it. What happened to the Iranians have no military. They have no air defense. They have no air defense munitions. They can't shoot down our stuff. Well, why do they have one of our Reaper drones then? How exactly does that work? I know that we re-engineered the Shahid and we made the Lucas drone, which I think cost like $1 million or something insane. Okay, go to Hegseth.
Iran has no air defenses. Iran has no air force. Iran has no navy. Their missiles, launchers, and drones being destroyed or shot out of the sky. Their missile volume is down 90%. Their one-way attack drones yesterday, down 95%. And as the world is seeing, they are exercising sheer desperation in the Straits of Hormuz. Something we're dealing with
projection.
Been dealing with it, and don't need to worry about it. We're on plan to defeat, destroy, disable all of their meaningful military capabilities at a pace the world has never seen before.
And what's the timestamp on that? Not the literal in the video, but when did that drop? Because I think that was months and months ago. And you see how they lie. You see how that's not true. We give you the truth on this network. That's why I need to tell people to support. Follow AJN Live, follow Real Alex Jones on X, follow me, Rex Jones News with the Z on X if you want to do that, and go to thealexjonesstore.com if you want to support independent media, independent broadcasting. That's the place to go, thealexjonesstore.com. We got phenomenal methylene blue, we got phenomenal methylene red, ultimate life force, power plant, methyl drive, MK Ultra, ultimate burn, so much more at thealexjonesstore.com, and just the most incredible lineup of Patriot apparel that you're going to see really anywhere on the market. Everything's made in America, made in USA. Shout out to Bigley, doing a great job. And this is the last week to win both the Ram 2500 Super Diesel and I believe the Ford as well. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Support this broadcast. We'll be right back after this break.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, You've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
We're continuing the News Blitz roundup for the entire week. Of course, it's August 7th, 2026. I'm your host, Rex Jones. Thank you for joining us. Please share the live link, live feed. If you're on X, retweet it. You got to retweet it. You got to do it. But I want to get back into the neocon monsters. Let's go to clip number 7 with old Ted Cruz.
I believe the objective here should be regime collapse, removing this regime from power. Now, how do we bring about regime collapse?
He looks like he's been raped.
What I think we should do is a series of things.
Did Benjamin Netanyahu rape Ted Cruz before this broadcast?
Keep it in place and continue ratcheting up the economic pressure. That combined with continue taking out their military assets, continue taking out their ability as they continue firing missiles at their neighbors, take out and degrade their military ability consistently. And then number 3, arm the protesters.
This episode of School of War.
All right, that's all we need. Arm the protesters. This is the Second Amendment Lindsey Graham option we've heard about. How are you going to deal with the 30 million people who were on the street for the Ayatollah's funeral? They never really talk about that, right? And he says his goal is not regime change, it's regime collapse. So he just endorses openly war crime because that's what they have to do. They have to end the country. That's the only way America can feasibly win this war is if they take out all the bridges, they take out all the power plants, they make the people starve, they make the people hurt. It's almost here, let me engage in a hypothetical here. I don't support this, but I'm thinking from the beginning of the war, I'm putting myself in Trump's shoes, in his position, making myself the potato in chief, the POTUS Trump. Why are you killing the Ayatollah? Killing the Ayatollah is actually really, really dumb. I know you've heard me say, of course, you banned the nuclear weapon. I've said that like a trillion times, X, Y, Z. That's not my point. From a psychological perspective on the population, you have a population that's about half Muslim and then half whatever, right? Like half like ethnically Persian or whatnot. And there's some overlap there. We can debate, argue that. And the Ayatollah, IRGC, the Islamic Republic, it's a mixed bag, a mixed perception. A lot of people like the regime. A lot of people don't like the regime. A lot of these people wanted normalization with the West before the war. A lot of people in government wanted normalization with the West before the war. A lot of them still do, by the way. But you have this mixed bag. You do have this element within the country that does want to change and might be susceptible to working with the West. So in January, you use your intelligence assets, CIA, Mossad, the United States, Israel did this, to do a color revolution, a failed one, where you import rocket launchers, you import weapons, you import Internet Starlink, you coordinate them. And then all these people, this careful intelligence plan that's been put together for a decade plus, just like the Hezbollah operation with the pagers, it falls apart. They kill the people involved. That's where when Trump says 50,000 protesters, now they're saying it might even be 80,000. That's the number they throw out. The Iranians released the name and ID of every single person that they killed during that color revolution period. It's like, I think it's 3,300 people. So that's another example of Western lies. My point being with all of this, you do the failed color revolution in January. That doesn't work. You play that card, you throw it away. Then February 28th, March 1st, you kill the Ayatollah when he's in his house in like the first like seconds, maybe hours of the attacks. You ice the Ayatollah. Why wouldn't you attack everybody else and leave him alive and leave him hiding in a bunker and then leave your assets, your sleeper cells, your agents on the ground? Why wouldn't you say, hey, we're going to make this happen. We're going to crush Iran. We're going to make the Ayatollah look like a cowardly little rat hiding in his bunker. And then you guys are going to retake the country in the name of the Shah. Why wasn't that done? Because that seems like it would work out a lot better than what we did. What we did kind of seems effed up and retarded in comparison now, does it? You just like you throw away your two strongest cards from day one. And that's really what you do, because killing the Ayatollah ensures the regime doesn't change. You make him a martyr. You make him a hero. Their entire Shia culture is based off of sacrifice. That's basically all they care about. So you make this guy a demigod to half the country, to like 45 million people. And then you get on TV and you repeat the lines of now dead RIP hashtag PacWatch. Lindsey Graham is talking about giving the Second Amendment to the Iranian people. I got a bridge to sell Ted Cruz. We can make a lot of money off that. All right, let's go ahead and show clip number 9 from Trump. Another unk comment here. I think the war with Iran will end pretty soon. Go ahead and play clip number 9.
Pretty soon, again, based on everything I see, as soon as the war ends. And I think it's going to end pretty soon. I don't think they can go much longer. Yeah, please.
Has a deal been reached to reopen the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, I don't want to say it has been. It's sort of open right now. You know, we have a thing called the blockade headed up by the U.S. Navy, and we control it. And now we control it, but they can always shoot something. They always have something, or drop a mine. And if you have one mine sitting out there, you sort of mess things up because people don't want to take their billion-dollar boats and accidentally get hit by a mine. But I think we're doing very well. I just, you know, I'm involved in the negotiation. I think we're doing fine. It could be soon, yeah.
Mr. President, have you...
Could be, should be, won't be, because he's a liar. Yeah, so we've been hearing this for quite some time, and it hasn't really panned out. He says he thinks the war with Iran will end pretty soon. I think he said it's over, like, I think at least 100 times at this point by now, which is, it's kind of cute that he'll lie to us like that. It's kind of really weird that people will still believe him. Like, what are you supposed to do when he's the president, right? There's not really a lot that you can do. You just got to sit there and go, ah, well, I guess we blew up another elementary school. It is what it is. All right, go ahead and go into clip number 10, another neocon roundup monster. Mike Pompeo rejected claims that the Iran conflict was a war of choice. Play clip number 10.
There are those within my party, the Republican Party, who think President Trump made a mistake, that would agree with Bernie Sanders and AOC that this was, and Hakeem Jeffries, right? They're out there. I don't understand that. These Republicans would describe this as a war of choice.
I wonder if that's a Ozempic or Retta.
That's a straw man argument, right? This was no war of choice. We've been at war with the Iranians for decades. It was time to make sure that they didn't have the capacity to become like North Korea, impenetrable, unattackable, a bastion that had nuclear weapons that truly threatened at least their own neighborhood.
At least their own neighborhood. And Israel is an extension of the United States. It's our 51st state. It really should be the big star on our flag, and there should be all the little ones around it. So we had to attack. It was only going to be 24, 48 hours. That's what the administration said at first. It's a lie then. It's a lie now. We haven't been at war with them for 47 years. They gave us money after 9/11. They were, I think, the first country to do that. Were we at war with them then when we accepted that money? I'm sure Pompeo would have you believe it. Let's go ahead and show clip number 12, Trump not endorsing J.D. Vance.
Mr. President, there's a report that you told donors that they need to get J.D. Vance elected in 2028. Is that your official endorsement?
No, it's. I heard about it a little while ago. I think he's great, but we're way too early to even be thinking about that. Okay?
Well, I mean, the dynasty, the Trump dynasty, the Trump 2028, Trump 2032, Trump 2036, and, you know, J.D. Vance moving forward and doing all these things. I think Trump realizes all that was always dependent on his success, and I think he adopted that plan at the beginning. But now he's kind of looking around him and saying, hey, I've really tainted J.D. I really heavily tarnished J.D. by making him my good cop in this war that we claim is over but we can't end. And then he looks at Marco Rubio, and Marco Rubio is sitting over there with his giant sonic dish ears. He has been able to kind of slink around on the sidelines, been able to run Latin America, has been able to do a lot of these sneaky neocon foreign policy things that Trump actually really likes. I really see Marco Rubio getting the nod from the Don. That's my personal opinion. I'd be curious to see what you guys think. Let's check out. Ooh, they got Fauci's phone. Clip number 15. Josh Hawley just confirmed it.
The Senate has his phone. This is the phone that he used for years, we believe, as the director of the NIAID, which is the position he held during COVID. I understand we're in the process of downloading its contents right now. I can't wait to see what's on it, Jesse. I mean, we learned so much from that last trove of documents. We learned that he got all of those cash prizes, $1 million for himself during COVID. That was illegal, by the way. I can't wait to see what we're going to find out from this phone.
And the Florida AG is looking into some of these wards. He was grabbing cash awards while he was telling Florida to shut down and do this and that. And he knew these rules were BS.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. The law prohibits a federal employee from soliciting cash prizes. It says you can't go use your employees to solicit cash prizes. You can't use your office or email. Fauci was doing all of it. Was he even focused on COVID during COVID? No way. He was focused on himself. He was focused on getting rich. And Jesse, he got over $1 million in cash prizes in the span of like 2 years. He's the highest paid federal employee ever. His pension is worth $500,000 a year. Net worth right now, north of $12 million. It's a total scam.
What? North of 12?
Yeah, it's all a bit insane, ridiculous. He bragged about in his diary about, you know, how he, all the famous hot women liked him now because he was cool and he was a person that saved them. And, you know, he's a person that inserts flesh-eating maggots into beagles' faces to experiment on them. He's a person that funded Eco Health Alliance on record. Sue me if it's not true, and created COVID-19. In my opinion, Dr. Anthony Fauci should be executed for crimes against humanity. And let's just talk about the death penalty a little bit. We'll have a little bit of a conversation about the death penalty, 15 or 13 minutes on the clock. Why do we not implement this in the way that it used to be implemented? Why don't we do it? why do we have people running around that have created COVID-19 and killed millions of people and destroyed hundreds of millions, perhaps even billions of people's lives, like Dr. Anthony Fauci? Why do we have people that stab people on trains and, oh, I'm insane, so it's okay, it's all good. And then, you know, like you look at the rap sheet, it's just a mile long. I've got this video. And I want to say viewer discretion is advised. All right. This is not a positive topic, but it's a topic that has to be talked about. We've got this guy. I think his name is like Dijon Mustard or something. And he's this like notorious black criminal. He's been in jail like 14 times, like always released. And I guess he's just a paranoid schizophrenic or whatever. He goes out on the street and just punches women in the head and attempts to murder them. You know, he just does it and posts it on Instagram. And it's been restricted now, so people aren't seeing the video as much. I'm about to show it to you. I have three sisters. If I saw a random dude punch a lady in the street and basically like murder her, like KO her in the street, and then he's like standing over her, I'm literally bam, 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 bam. Because here's the thing. Oftentimes people say, oh, well, you don't know what was going to happen. He could have stopped and tried to help her, whatever. I just watched him try to attempt murder on this woman. I'm going to stop the threat. We're going to eliminate the threat because you don't have the right to do violence on other people. They are so quick to say, oh, you don't get a gun. Oh, you don't get agency. Oh, you don't get rights because rights are dangerous for you. You'll hurt people with them. But the criminals that actually do the violent crimes, the violent offenses that break the law, they get rewarded. They get no cash bail. They get let out over and over and over again. And it creates an attitude within the predatory class of people in America that they can just do whatever they want. What'd y'all say? Yeah, you know, I see it on the rundown. Let's go ahead and play this clip. Clip number 21.
That's the real issue, nigga. That's the real issue, nigga. And you sitting here playing with me, nigga. That's the real issue, nigga. July 21st is the real issue, nigga. July 21st, that's the real issue. Nah, don't wave to me. You still talking? You still talking? July 21st.
Yeah, what happened to Stop Asian Hate? How'd that work out? Elijah! Look who's doing it. Doesn't look white to me. Yeah, I think he should be drawn and quartered publicly. I think we should stone him. I think we should fry him in the electric chair, bring him back to life, and fry him again. Seriously. Dijon Mustard, Daquan Shafir Hunt, you must die. You must face execution. Like, this is just the reality. We either live in a society where we protect the weakest among us, or we protect the worst people among us. And we live in a society where we truly protect the worst people. This is why I'm pro-death penalty. This is why this guy, after a fair trial, of course, it's literally all on video. The attempted murder is on video. He just needs to be executed. It has to be taken care of now so more people don't get hurt. And that is what it is about. I had somebody say, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, he thought it was cool to go punch a 5'2" woman in the face. You know, let's tie him up in a chair and let a 6'8" dude punch him in the face. See how he feels about it. I'm sure it wouldn't be a lot of N-words coming out of his mouth. It'd be, bro, bro, stop, bro. Just boom, boom, boom. Take him out like the garbage. Put him in the trash can on Tuesday. Get rid of him. Get rid of him now. We got pedophiles. They get like 3 years in prison and they get let out. This is on that level. He's a mass shooter. This is like a school shooter level criminal. This guy is like literally like a DC Comics level villain, a Marvel level villain. This guy's a monster and needs to be taken off our planet immediately. Free trial, fair trial, expedient trial. Get rid of him now, please. And people say, oh, again, it's not Christian to have the death penalty. What do you mean? He's got time in a jail cell to talk to a priest and get right with God before he dies. What if that was your mother? What if that was your sister? What if that was your wife? You're still going to be, we can't have the government, you know, take care of people. It's too much power to give the government. The government kills us. The government kills the citizens. The government oppresses us, taxes us, sends us off to war. And then this criminal, you're going to pay over $100,000 a year to put him in some cushy prison where he'll be raped by Bubba and he'll like it. Seriously, just solve the problem now. Solve the problem permanently. Get him off the planet. He doesn't deserve to live. He absolutely does not deserve to live. And like I just said, if that was a woman in your life that you were related to or friends with or you knew, I think you'd feel the same exact way. And I think that you do feel the exact same way. Look at his criminal record. 5'9", 220 pounds. I didn't know they stacked SHIT that high. Wow. Well, he's got all different haircuts as well. And the spider cut, always an indicator. Dejon Mustard, attempted murderer who should fry in the electric chair. I would call your congressman or call your senator and ask him why we don't have punishments for serious violent criminals like this. I know there's been a lot of criminal justice reform and they want to send the social worker out, you know, take care of the problem. Somebody like this, they can't ever see light of day again. And ultimately, a court of law is not serious enough to address his crimes against humanity and innocent people. That woman literally woke up that day, thought about, oh, I got an appointment here. I got to go to work here. I'm happy. Going to see my family later. And he saw her on the street. She waved at him. She smiled at him. And he said, I'm going to end your life. I'm going to conquer you. I have the right to do it because I'm stronger than you. Well, here's the thing, Dejon Mustard. A lot of people have guns. A lot of people are armed. And a lot of people don't like it when you violate their rights and try to kill them. So if we live in a society that is supposed to protect freedom and protect the citizens, why do we have these predators walking among us doing these things, getting let out of jail over and over and over again, over a dozen times? But then if you have an ounce of cocaine, if you embezzle a little money, whatever, you go to jail forever. There's no equality. There's no justice in our justice system. That makes me so mad. Really, really makes me mad. Get him back up there on the screen. Get him back up there on the screen. This is a guy that decided he had the right to punch random women that are just walking down the street. They're minding their own business. That they're just enjoying their day, enjoying their life, because the only thing that makes him happy is getting to do this to people and the knowledge that he'll get away with it. He knows he's going to get away with it. He knows, oh, give me a year, maybe 2-3 years in jail, prison, and then I'm out. I get to do the same thing again. Maybe I'll even sell drugs. Because he doesn't have anything to lose. All right? He doesn't care. He's not aware of anything else other than his own desire, which is to do whatever he wants. And we can't really have a society that way now, can we? Can't really have a society where people rob you, or people murder you, people assault you, people rape you. Can't really be done. That's not the West. You're not welcome in the West. You got to go. Got to go to hyperspace. Got to go meet the judge. All right, get rid of him now. All right. I had to cover that because it's just so awful. And we'll talk about that with further guests. Let's go back to the Iran war. Let's go to clip 22. Scott Bessent, we have Iran by the throat.
We're never going to let them have a nuclear weapon.
Right.
We had Epic Fury, which was the kinetic portion. At Treasury, we did Economic Fury. What goes little publicized is, on the kinetic side, Air Force is wiped out, Navy is wiped out, a big portion of their missiles, more importantly, their missile production. On the economic side, we have them by the throat, and they've got 150, 180% food inflation, not able to pay the troops. So I think shortly, maybe even today, tomorrow, we are going to see an agreement, a 30, 60-day ceasefire, and Strait will be open. Energy prices should come down.
That's all everyone's talking about. That's all they'll talk about. Strait of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, how it's all fine. It's all under control. The domestic reality, they don't care about you. They don't care even that you exist. And, you know, if you get punched by somebody in the street, you know, you're not a billionaire. You're not a donor. You're not an Israeli. So you're not a top priority. Bessent said, adding that more than 50 to 70%, not quoting him what I said before, quoting him now, more than 50 to 70%, or 70% of the energy currently moving through it would instead go to underground pipelines, talking about the thing they're going to build around the Strait of Hormuz. And I don't think that's 30 to 60 day ceasefire. We had that before. That was called the Memorandum of Understanding. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 20, U.S. rent prices versus income, the real war. That's loving and liberal. And this is why people in the younger generations are upset, is because this isn't a fair deal. It's not a fair deal when you had 1990, look at that gap versus where we're at today. And see, it came back up, but the other one came back up as well. Keeps climbing. Income goes down again. you kind of get the picture, right, of what's happened to our country. How we already own nothing and are not happy. So when we own even less, how does the logic follow that we're going to be doing any better? I just personally don't see it. I have hope, you know. I really do. But every time I have hope, every time I think that, you know, we can turn around from one of these economic crises, they do another war, do another pandemic, do another pump and dump crash. And that's how we ended up where we are today. I want to go ahead and show clip number 16. World War II vet feels like a foreigner in his own country.
The real truth?
Yeah.
I feel like a foreigner in my own country lots of times. And I don't like it. It makes my heart real heavy. And I just hope we can pull out of this. There's too much Hollywood going on in Washington all the time. The important subjects they don't cover.
That's right. Well, when that guy was young, the country was vast majority white, and the country was an industrial superpower, and the country was known for really space-age technology, even back then creating the modern world, helping the Allied powers, really funding the Allied powers to win the war with the manufacturing capability. And now that entire ethnic base and just like identity of the country is basically gone. We have vestiges of it. We have symbolism of it, symbology of it. But in reality, we have done mass migration and mass importation, not just illegal, but legal, 1 million to 2 million people a year for just decades and decades and decades and decades. And you can't really do that. No one else does it. We take in more immigrants than basically anybody else. Look this up. It's all true. Legally. Not illegally, legally. We take in more people basically than anybody else. We're very high up on that list. And the argument of, oh, it's built the country, it's done X, Y, Z, the historic ethnic groups of the country, right? Like the British, the German, everyone like that. That time period, that colonial time period, you have that. Then you have the time period of the Ellis Island, where you have the Italians, the Irish, other people come in. Of course, historic African-American population, Latino population as well in the U.S. The new people, well, they're Haitian. They are from Bangladesh. They are from India. They are from China. They are from Africa. They are from the Middle East. They are from places that have culture completely alien to ours. And they refuse to assimilate in the vast majority. People that we bring over here, we tell them to come here. All right. Whether that's refugee status, whether that is like accelerating a timeline to pass them through immigration system. And we say, as long as you swear that you'll identify and abide by our values, we'll make you a citizen. And you know, a lot of them, you know, do, and they do a good job of that, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. And the expectation that everyone that you bring into your country is going to act exactly how you're used to your culture, I don't think that bears out. I think we're seeing the fruits of that labor. And look at that. Over 50 million foreign-born residents live in the U.S., making up roughly 15% of the total population. How's that for a black pill? I'll see you after this break.
Filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Agreed, partners.
Let's head out. Right behind you.
The Alex Jones Show. Uncovering the truth from the American heartland.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.